Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
I'm Ben Earl. Welcome to the Country Music Talk podcast. Now, on this episode, I'm talking to C2C headliner Zach Topp. He came in to play an exclusive live session for Absolute Radio Country, performing acoustic versions of his massive songs South of Sanity, I Never Lie, and Bad Luck. Literally just him and his guitar, and I was blown away. It sounded just absolutely incredible. You can see the video from that session on Absolute Radio Country's YouTube channel. But right now, here's what happened when we sat down together for a chat.
This is the Country Music Talk podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
This is Absolute Radio Country. I am Ben Earl, and I'm talking to a multi-platinum and now Grammy award-winning country artist. I'm a huge fan of his. He's making his UK debut, headlining our biggest country music festival, C2C, very soon. Zach Topp, welcome to Absolute Radio Country.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That intro is too nice. It's going to be a big letdown now.
How does it feel hearing the word Grammy award-winning now?
It's crazy. I guess they can't take that away from me the rest of my life, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, I appreciate all the kind words. So excited about winning that award. And it's fun. You know, we dodged the sophomore slump, so that was good. And then also, you know, winning the first year of that new category feels cool too, you know, along with a Grammy on its own is plenty good enough. But then, you know, a couple other things added on top there make it extra cool.
So. I did notice you left your beer this time.
They didn't allow drinks in there. I tried to walk in with a drink into the auditorium, and they said no drinks. I was like,
no drinks during the Grammys as well?
Yeah. I mean, once the actual show that's televised and everything, we had drinks there. But, yeah, they wouldn't let us take drinks in there. It's like, what am I supposed to do here this whole time? Anyway, so I just enjoyed the music, I guess. But yeah, no beer to take on stage. I
mean, if you haven't seen the video, the CMA one with the beer. That is so funny. I loved it. You won Best Traditional Country Album at the Grammys.
Yeah.
What do you think it is at the moment? Because you have a lot of young fans. A lot of young fans are loving your more sort of traditional, I hate saying the word throwback, but what do you think it is about young fans that are turning to that more traditional side of country?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's funny, out at our shows, we got everybody from 8 to 80 because, you know, older folks are hearing something that's sonically reminiscent of, you know, something that they listened to when they were growing up too. So they're loving it. And then, yeah, new people are finding it as a, you know, a fresh, brand new thing, I guess. My sound is a little raw and real compared to some of the, like, a lot of the last decade or 15 years or something of country music has been you know, the hip-hop influence, pretty electronic and produced. And I think there might have been just, you know, it's like, all right, we've heard a bunch of that, and the taste has just shifted a little bit. Let's hear something, you know, for one thing, more back to the roots of what everybody kind of knows and loves about country music. And then, yeah, just kind of that real raw sound, instruments being played live and, you know, not computer-generated noises or whatnot. I'm speaking very ignorantly about it. I don't know much about all that stuff that they make as far, you know, the more contemporary country, if you want to call it that. But yeah, I think that would be one take on it, I guess.
Well, things because your album is so timeless in that respect. It sounds like a microphone's just put up in the room and you guys are kind of playing. But it's kind of great timing for you as well because you are, I don't say old soul, but you know, you started playing the guitar at 3.
Yeah, well, I got a guitar at 3. Okay. I'd say I started playing it at 5.
Okay, but what was the first song? I love this story. The first song you loved. What was it? It was
Amarillo by Morning by George Strait. That was, for whatever reason, I loved that. I don't know if it was age appropriate material for a 5-year-old talking about leaving wives and girlfriends, but something about it spoke to me, and I still love it to this day. But yeah, that was the first song I ever asked to learn how to play, my first guitar lesson. For one thing, I'm left-handed in a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
But my parents didn't know, and I didn't know that it made a difference, so they bought me a right-handed guitar. It's a lot easier to find a right-handed guitar. But anyway, I would always play air guitar left-handed, so I was holding the thing upside down, just banging on it, you know, like a kid will. So I walked into the lesson, and the my teacher, Marie, she flipped it around and said, let's try it this way. And it's like, okay, whatever. I guess we'll play it this way then. And then she asked me what I wanted to learn. I said, Amarillo by Morning. And she's, you know, a nice church-going lady. I think she gasped a little bit, and she was like, well, maybe let's start with Jesus Loves Me first or something. We can work our way up to that. So I think that's how it went. But, yeah, the first show we ever played, I was 7 years old, and we played Amarillo by Morning in that set list. So.
Wow. And you were homeschooled, weren't you? And so
yeah.
You tried to get all your work done, basically, in the day.
Yeah.
And then just play guitar for the rest of the day. That was your kind of thing, wasn't
it? Get her done early. Yeah. Go wander the wilderness on the back 40 at the farm there and, play as much guitar as I could.
Wow. Then your college years. I love it. So you go to college.
Yes.
You're there for like...
Didn't last very long.
No. You drop out.
Yeah.
Sorry, it sounds horrible, drop
no,
out.
No, that's... Out. Proud to be a dropout.
But you go to Nashville.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was a bit of a weird time for you starting out in Nashville because you were working construction, is that
yep.
right? And then, so I've got a question I'd love to know because obviously everything's going so well for you now.
Yeah.
But what advice would you give to yourself, that person who's got to Nashville and you want to make it, but you're having to work this other job and been probably frustrated, I imagine. Like, what would you tell that Zach Top?
A little bit. I guess do exactly what you're doing because it happened to work. But, yeah, I think, you know, I was – fortunate to be a young dumb guy and still listen to a bunch of good advice, because I think that's been the biggest thing that has helped my career grow as fast as it has. Had a lot of wise folks around me helping guide me through that time when it was like, let's get it, let's go, and felt like I had to kind of rein it in a little bit for a while. But yeah, had some great people around me. My producer Carson and then my manager Mike too. And the first impression you make with somebody is so important, because in the music business, you know, second chances are so hard to come by. If that first impression isn't right, it takes a long time to come back around and, you know, to get a second chance. So, you know, looking back on it, there's so much wisdom in taking our time, making sure everything was just right before we tried to make our first big splash in the world. So, yeah, I guess I'd tell them,
wait,
listen.
Yeah.
Be patient and, yeah, listen to the folks advising you.
I love the fact you stayed so true to yourself. And you've got a lot of fans now in terms of, like, artists as well. And I've seen, I watched Post Malone covering I Never Lie.
Yeah, yeah.
That was quite interesting for me to hear that version of his.
For sure.
You've also sung with Post as well, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've been on a show or two with him. Yeah, he's been super nice. He's cool. And he is. So, you know, obviously he made his... most of his career far, far away from country music, but he's been such a fan for his whole career. You know, you can find videos of him 10 years ago already being a fan of, like, when Sturgill Simpson first got big, and always loving Merle Haggard songs and stuff like that. So he's got a lot of reverence and respect for the genre, like where country music came from to get it to today. And yeah, he's putting his own stamp on it now.
It's funny because you say about first impressions. Have you seen the video of him back in college or like school?
Oh, yeah. When he first, like, when he blew up on SoundCloud and stuff. Yeah.
So bad.
Oh, it's wild. It's wild. Yeah.
He should have waited. No, I believe he's there now, isn't he?
No, it worked for him. It worked for him.
You're obviously a very keen golfer, as well, people don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that is such a thing in country. You've got people like, one is Jay Cohen, is it? Jay Cohen's like scratch,
isn't he? Great player, yeah.
What do you play off? What's your.
I'm 8 handicap, 8.5 or something.
Oh, wow. You play left-handed on that?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm just confused. I swing right-handed, but I still putt left-handed. So
wow.
I'm trying to find my way. Maybe I'll switch it around. This year, maybe I'll get better if I swing left-handed and putt right-handed this year. But, we'll find a way that works before long.
Any country stars that you have beaten? Convincingly?
I'm trying to... Yeah, that's a good
nice
question.
Sorry,
I haven't played that much with... I've got a couple of... buddies back in Nashville that I think I usually beat Ernest. He's a member at a real nice club out there, so he's nice enough to let me. I shouldn't be rude and beat him when he invites me out to his club, but Ernest's interested in the extracurricular surrounding golf.
Okay.
You know, something to smoke and something to drink more than the golf itself.
So. In the UK, it's so different.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very. Yeah. Yeah, you're serious about the sport if you're playing over here, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love that. We I, got a gripe with the booking agent for sending me over here in February and March. I need to come back when it's warmer so I can enjoy the golf.
next time.
Yeah, exactly. Leave something to look forward to for the next time.
Talking of which, so C2C, I don't know many artists that their first show in the UK has been headlining country to country. Yeah. You might be the first. I'm going to check it out. But
yeah.
How do you feel about the festival? And you must be excited to play.
Yeah, of course. It's funny. I feel like we might have skipped a couple steps. I feel like I kind of missed out on. I would have loved to just me and the band get over here and take shifts, trying to drive a stick shift minivan around or something on the, the opposite side of the road for us and see how many wrecks we'd get in. It feels like kind of a rite of passage coming over here to tour. But I'm thankful that we get to. It's crazy to me that we got so many people already going crazy for the music over here. And exciting that we get to come in and play to that many people for our first time around. Really exciting. Thank you to the internet and Spotify and such.
Yeah. Well, what have you heard about UK fans? Have you heard any things that are going to be like?
I don't know that I've heard a whole lot. I know one thing that kept coming up in a lot of the people that I've talked to is they're really attentive to even the less popular songs or, not just the hits, deep tracks and stuff too, which is cool. I always appreciate that. When folks dig deep in a catalog is cool to me. And then also when I was, I came over here just for vacation when I was 15, with my family, and I got such a kick back then out of going around to different pubs and finding these little traditional Irish bands and stuff like that. And people just eating up the music, going crazy for it. And, it's just bunch of different kinds of music too, but if there was live music and it was decent, people were just loving it. So hopefully it's just a great energy around live music here in the UK and all over Europe at the rest of our shows too. So hopefully people will go crazy for what we're doing. Excited
they
to be
do,
able to
they'll
do
go
our
crazy
thing.
After you played though, a lot of US artists get a bit weird. They're not quiet.
Yeah. They're not talking through our songs and singing along too much.
Do they like me? And then a massive ring of applause.
That's awesome.
You've toured with some massive names in country, like Lainey Wilson, Bentley, Keith Urban, Scotty McCreery. And what have you learned from them? Any advice they've given to you, when you've been on the road?
Dirks and Lainey both. We spent a better part of a year touring with them, and so that was fun to see. I think one of the coolest things I noticed about them, they're such, both of them and the other two too, obviously, like I said, I didn't spend as much time with them, but Dirks and Lainey, such genuine people, and everybody that's worked for them has been working for them for a while, and they obviously take care of their people. And so I think that was one of the biggest notes I took away from both of them, just kind of how to run your business and take care of people that are working with you, and make sure it's a good spot for them and they're happy to be there.
I think that'll be easy for you.
Here's
nice
hoping. I try anyway. Yeah. don't go asking my road crew. I don't know what they'll say.
I love your last record, Ain't In For My
Thanks.
Health. It's a beautiful record. So
Thank
many great
you.
Songs on there. No collaborations on there?
Yeah, not so far. I feel like I need to find the right song or write the right song. That's I'm a big fan of all the old duets people would do. They do whole duet albums and stuff back in the day. Yeah. George and Tammy or Conway and Loretta, Vince Gill, Patti Loveless, all great examples.
Who would be your dream collaboration though? If you could just anyone in the world.
Gal that, I just mentioned her, Patti Loveless, has always been one of my favorite gal singers. And she kind of comes from the bluegrass world too, before she had her big country career, obviously. So I love Patti. She's awesome. I feel like we sing good together. Just need to find the right song and cut a little duet like that.
You can brainstorm it.
That's right.
Yeah. You didn't say me, but we can.
I love it. Yeah, absolutely.
Company excluded.
Absolutely. If you got ideas, I want to hear them.
Zach, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lovely to chat to you and love the record. And good luck for C2C. It's going to be amazing.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you talking with me.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters. And we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.